The following podcast contains strong language and adult themes and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hanky Digital presents The Skin. Show me what lies beneath. An audiobook podcast by Christian Heinke. Chapter 11. Broken Pieces. The pain had lied to Catherine. When he wrapped her in his powerful arms, he promised to lead her through the darkness to Danny and Richard. To Catherine, the afterlife had always been an endless beach with warm sand, clear water, and sunshine. The two of them would be waiting for her there. With Richard's help, Danny would build a sand castle for them. On the broad mound of the castle, at the foot of the wall, they would press a welcome home mum into the sand with shells. However, there was no one on the deserted beach. Gentle waves lapped at her bare feet. The water was icy. "Danny," she called into the sandy emptiness. "Rich?" But they weren't there. The pain had lied, like so many times before. Catherine opened her eyes and recognized the bare ceiling of a hospital room. Fuck. Why hadn't she just died? "Kath?" a face above her asked. It was Andy. Somehow she was bracing for him to spit at her, but he just looked at her, relieved and worried all at once. The pain seemed to have lied about that too. Andy, dear Andy. She had always felt protected and safe with him. She could have been thrilled with him, but the pain had known how to prevent that, and now he was here again. With her, and once more she felt protected and safe. "Hey," Andy greeted her. "Hey," she replied. She felt like saying something stupid. "I must look terrible." Andy stroked her cheek. "Have you forgotten? You're a supermodel. Nothing can disfigure you." "Lopsided this?" she asked, holding out one of her bandaged forearms to him. Andy swallowed, took her arm, and kissed it. "Lopsided that," he said. Then he frowned. Although what?" she asked. He smiled. "Although, of course, I'm not objective about your beauty, Kath." Now she smiled. "Is that so?" He nodded. "That's nice," she said, thinking, "he still loves me." This realization warmed her. He looked at her. "Why did you do that?" he asked. His voice sounded so serious that Catherine felt a little anxious. Typical Andy. He always wanted to understand things. But what was she supposed to say? "I guess I just wanted it all to be over," she said. "I see," he replied, nodding again. "No, Andy," she said, touching his cheek. "You don't understand." "What do you mean?" She shook her head. "Not right now. This isn't the time for the whole truth, Andy. Give me time." "What if you had died after all? How would I have known this truth then?" Her eyes filled with tears. "I'm still here, aren't I?" she asked, stroking his hand. He allowed it and moved closer to her. Their lips were almost touching when the door opened, and Jamie entered the room with a bouquet. "Oh," she exclaimed, blushing. "Oh," she repeated, then left the room, closing the door behind her. Nevertheless, Catherine and Andy could hear a jubilant, "Yes," from outside. Andy sighed and buried his face in Catherine's shoulder. "In about 15 minutes, all of Easton will know," he said. She stroked his hair, and after a moment she added, And would that be so bad? He looked up at her. No, I just... He laughed at himself. No. I'm glad you think so. She lifted her head to kiss him. A clearing of the throat at the door interrupted the moment. Again. Standing in the doorway was not the curious Jamie, but Detective Helen Louisiani. Sorry to disturb you, she mumbled, gazing at Catherine. Catherine understood. Ella, she whispered. Andy found Helen Louisiani sitting on the steps of the back entrance to the hospital, smoking. He sat down beside her in silence. Catherine had collapsed in tears after hearing the news of Ella's death. Only after a heavy dose of tranquilizers did she regain her composure. Andy knew he shouldn't hold the bearer of bad news responsible, yet in that moment, he hated Detective Louisiani. He was also confused. What was developing between him and Catherine? He wasn't clear about his feelings for her. Did he still love her? Or was this just a fleeting sense of satisfaction because Catherine seemed to feel something for him again? He wasn't sure. He tried to reflect on his anger toward Helen Louisiani. So Catherine is exonerated, he announced. Helen noticed his bitter tone. Yes, she is. District Attorney Risk has withdrawn the arrest warrant. And now? I don't know, Dr. Peterson. Ask someone else. I'm out. I don't understand. I've resigned from the force. I'm no longer a detective. Because of what? Because of this? She nodded. Because of this. Andy's hatred for her faded as quickly as the smoke from the cigarette in her hand. I'm sorry to hear that. Don't be. Andy contemplated her words. Then he said, I see. You like to make a big deal out of things. Excuse me? You give up. So you like to back down. If you'd seen what I saw? She broke off mid-sentence. God, why am I talking to you? You weren't there. Are we discussing the murders now? Or are we talking about the fact that you were buried in the World Trade Center? Helen's face went pale. I read about it in the New York Times, Andy explained. He had indeed. Fran had shown him the article back then. Helen Louisiani looked at him. You fucking shrink! She hissed. I've read about you too, Dr. Peterson. Perhaps you'd better lie down on your own couch, or are you over your wife's death already? Andy swallowed. One point for you. Fuck this. Helen stood up, crushed the cigarette with her heel, and attempted to leave. Detective, Miss Louisiani, wait. She wheeled around. What, are you going to charge me for the session now? No, I want you to help me. Why should I? Because I'm asking you to. There's a serial killer out there, and Catherine is most likely next on his death list. Help me catch this son of a bitch. You want me to help you? She shook her head. I'm sorry, I can't. She turned to leave. I know I'm asking a lot. He sighed. All right. But remember, if you won't do it for Catherine or for me, at least do it for yourself. For me? You think I should do this for myself? That's right. For a moment, Andy thought she would at least consider his suggestion, but then her gaze hardened again, and he already knew her answer before she uttered it. Forget it. She got up, left him sitting on the stairs, and ran off. The bourbon slid down her throat in a burning path. O'Reilly's Pub was the precinct's unofficial office. Helen had often ended her shift here with her colleagues after work. That was where she fell in love with Rico. She later blamed it on alcohol. But if she was honest, she had to admit that she had been sober that evening since she was on duty the next morning. No, she had thrown herself into the affair with Rico Mendez fully in possession of her mental faculties. She hadn't been drunk on love either. Rico was the right one, the only one, the real one. Or maybe not, because now he was dead. And now she was too. It had just taken a little longer for her. For 5 long years, she had walked through this world as the living dead, deluding herself that she could cope with Mendez's death. Well, world, what can I say? Helen Louisiani set sail. One more, she ordered. She was already slurring her words. Hand, glass, mouth, sip, sharpness, fire. Life could be so simple. She put the empty glass back down and stared at the counter. Her badge and gun were there. How had they gotten there? She looked at these relics of her undead life, slowly turned her head, and noticed Davis sitting on the stool next to her. With a nod, she pointed at the items. "What's this?" she asked. "What do you think?" he replied. She remained silent, letting him fidget. He sighed. "I want to apologize, Helen." He squeezed the words out between his teeth. "Is that what you want?" "I was mistaken, okay? Hell, everyone was mistaken. That's what you want to hear." "Wrong. I want to hear that Ella Henson is fine. Nobody knows better than you that she's not. Every time you claim that I always get my way, but now suddenly I don't. That's why I'm out. Come on, Helen, let's nail the bastard." "Fuck you. If it would help you get rid of this thing, whatever it may be, I would do it. I wouldn't like it, but I would do it." Helen looked at him and had to laugh. "I can't do this alone," he continued. Helen stifled her tears. "Neither can I." "But you're not alone, Helen." "Fuck," she said. She was about to cry. "I won't go that far," he replied, making an indignant face. "I'm married, after all." She had to laugh again. Then it burst out. She was sobbing. Davis took her in his arms and rocked her gently back and forth. "It's all right. It's okay, partner." When Catherine awoke from her deep sleep, Andy was at her bedside again. "Hi," he greeted her. "Hi." She felt the grief rise within her again, like deep water in a well. Ella was dead, murdered like all the others, like Mia. And in that moment, she realized with finality what that truly meant. "Oh God, Dad was right. I'm next." Andy seemed to sense her thoughts. "I'll take care of it," he said with a seriousness that almost amused her. She touched his hand. "Don't," she replied. "What do you mean?" he asked. "Please don't say things like that. My father says things like that. They don't suit you." "But I..." She pressed her lips to his cheek for a quick kiss. "Just stay with me, okay?" "Okay." Then they kissed. It was the first time in 17 years, and a strange familiarity spread between them at that moment. Despite his awareness of the cliche, Andy couldn't resist comparing the kiss to fine wine. That's what it tasted like. Superb wine. Their tongues met and danced around each other. It lacked the youthful, impulsive rush, but otherwise, it felt reminiscent of the past. Catherine had come full circle. She had returned to where she had once taken flight, only to fall back into the clutches of pain. They cherished the moment, knowing it would be the last taste of joy for a while. Catherine expected to feel his hands, but Andy pulled away. She opened her eyes again. "Wow," he whispered, and she couldn't help but giggle. She felt just as eager as when they had made out on her parents' couch. She looked at him, teasingly. "God, I'd like to do some naughty things with you, Dr. Peterson." "But not now, and not here," he said. "All right." She hesitated before adding, "I really like you, Andy. You believe me about that, don't you?" "Yeah, I believe you. Did you talk to the policewoman?" "She resigned from the force." "Because she couldn't save Ella?" He nodded. Kathy appeared lost in thought. "What?" he asked. "Oh, God!" exclaimed Catherine. "What is it?" She looked at him, startled. "I think the killer called me before." Helen stumbled into her apartment. She groped for the light switch but couldn't find it. Davis had offered to accompany her, but she waved him off. They had both had too much to drink, and Helen feared the inevitable kiss at her door. Since she wasn't sober, it wouldn't have stopped there, leading her into the same mess with Davis as she had been in with Rico. Been there, done that. Maybe she should have that printed on t-shirts as her motto. Two narrow, shining eyes mewed at her. "Hey, Columbus," she greeted her cat. He meowed once more, then wandered away. Well, she didn't deserve it any other way. She was still searching for the damn light switch when the phone rang. It is likely that Davis was the one who wanted to come over. "No way, darling." She considered letting the phone ring, but then the answering machine would pick up. She'd hear Davis's voice, and maybe he'd beg a little. She might weaken. Quite a tricky situation. However, if she answered the call, she'd become furious, making Davis understand the consequences of being involved with her. Damn it. she cursed. How could he expect her to have a sensible conversation in this state? But he didn't want that. He just wanted to get her laid. She thought hard about the last time someone had laid her. She couldn't remember. "Damn it," she said again and picked up the phone. "Davis, listen," she began, wanting to take the wind out of his sails as quickly as possible. Then she would insult him, and the whole thing would be off the table. "Miss Louisiani?" asked a strange male voice. "Huh?" She couldn't come up with anything more intelligent after the collapse of her meticulously constructed mental edifice. "This is Dr. Peterson, the boyfriend of Catherine Williams." "I see," Helen replied. "Have you been drinking?" he asked. "Are you my mother?" Helen growled. "No, of course not." "So, what's up, Doc?" She found the question rather amusing. "Maybe I should call you later," Peterson said. "Go ahead and fire away, Doc." "I was going to ask if you could accompany me to Columbia University tomorrow. I did a little research and... anyway, I think my old professor might help us with the case." "Didn't I tell you I was out?" "Get in touch with my colleague, Davis." "Well, I just spoke to him. He says you're back in. You just don't know it yet." "Davis, you son of a bitch." "Well, if my colleague says so, then it must be true, Dr. Peterson." She chuckled. "Thank you, detective." "Columbia, did you say?" "That's right, Columbia. Psychology Department, Professor Umbridge." He hung up the phone. Helen staggered into the bedroom and slipped off her shoes. "What a shitty day," she said. Then she fell onto her bed and immediately drifted into a deep, dreamless sleep.
Standing on an empty beach, where the pain can't reach. Died again, but here I am alone. Broken pieces everywhere, tears just won't fall. Some wounds never.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Heinke Digital audiobook podcasts and its author Christian Heinke, please visit heinke.digital.